Okay.
So I got a very interesting madrash that C.D. Weiss showed me. It's a little wacky. So, it's about the Luz bone. Okay? Whatever that means. So, it says that... I mean, the context is a little strange, but it says, Hashem said, I'm going to destroy Emches Adam, I'm going to destroy man. This is by the fourth marvel. Okay, so it's talking about the different things which are going to be destroyed. It says even the dust of Adam Rishon is going to be destroyed. Then Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak says, even the Luz Shel Shidra. Okay, so it's like a bone in the backbone. Okay, like a tiny, some sort of small, nut-like bone in the backbone. Yes. Shemimenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meitzitzas HaAdam Lasid Lavo, that from which Lasid Lavo in the Tchias HaMesim, Hashem is going to sprout forth man for Tchias HaMesim, that bone from which man will sprout forth Nimcha is going to be wiped away in the time of Noah. So saying is that in the time of the flood, he's going to destroy even those bones. Okay, these little Luz bones in the back of your backbone. Okay, so now it tells a little story about this bone. Adrianus Shchik Atzamos. Okay, so that's Hadrian. God should crush his bones. Okay, he was a bad guy. He was killed a lot of Jews, and you know. But he had some sort of, there's a various kind of medrashim where he had some conversations with Yeshua ben Hananya. Somehow they had a relationship. Okay, I guess, I don't know. Maybe before he killed all the Jews, whatever. So, I think he was the one with this story with the blood boiling, and he took revenge. I mean, he was like
what was the beginning of this?
Hashem saying is he's going to destroy all of mankind by the Dharmabal.
Okay.
Even the bones. Yeah, it's from those psukim. Yeah. Even these bones. Okay, so the story says, even this bone from which Hashem is going to sprout forth, you know, life at Tchias HaMesim. So what is the story? So this guy, Hadrian, asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. He said, "Mehechan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meitzitzas Adam Lasid Lavo, from where is God, of which you speak, going to bring forth, sprout forth, man, Lasid Lavo?" So Amar Lo, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said to him, "Lo Shel Shidra, from this bone." This is the way a lot of these few midrashim I saw go with you. Like he asks him this question, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya answers him, and Amar Lo, how do you know? Like Adrian asked him like challenging questions. He wasn't just taking answers from him. How do you know? So Amar Lo, I see say liyadi v'anath modzla. Bring it to me and I'll show you. Okay. So sure enough, he brought him a bone. And tachno berechayim, and they try to crush it in a grinder. Below nitan, it didn't grind. Didn't crush. Sarfo ba'ish, they burned it in the fire. Below nisraf, it didn't burn. Nasno ba'mayim, they put it in water. Below nimcha, it didn't dissolve. Nasno ala sadan, we put it on like some chopping block or something, an anvil or whatever, and hiskel makila v'patish, and they started smacking it with a hammer. Nechlak ha-sadon, somehow the sadon got smoothed out, v'nivka ha-patish, and the hammer got broken, split, v'lochas ha-klam, and the bone was intact. Nothing happened to it. Okay? So this special bone, it's saying is in the marble, even this bone, this super duper whatever bone is going to get wiped out. Okay?
From the people in the Mabul?
Yeah, I guess from the Mabul. Because God's saying, Emchas Adam, I'm going to wipe out even that bone. You know? So, okay? So that's the bone. That's that. Okay?
So the bone. That the bone's indestructible?
It's indestructible, presumably. But despite that, and the Mabul, it's going to become destroyed. Okay. Now, the bone also makes its appearance elsewhere. So this is how I came to know this from Sidhu's, he has a student who's a Torah or something, I don't know, some class. And he had a former student, and she like told him that she's like, I don't know, something like, I'm surrounded by mystics. I don't know, she's like, apparently they're teaching other stuff in the class, in some class, and she asked him, what's the deal with this? So I guess this is where the sources came from. So there's a source in the Mishnah Berurah which talks about Malav Malka. So Malav Malka is a nice meal to eat right after Shabbos. Okay? Even if you're not hungry, it's a mitzvah to eat it. It's like Kabbalah Shabbos. The Malka, you escort out the queen and you eat Shabbos, you know? So they say, they bring down a chazal that says there's a small bone in a person, okay, and they call it a different name, Naschoi Shema. His name is Naschoi. And this Eiver lasts in a person in the grave until Tchias Mesim, and even after all the other bones rot. Right, so it sounds like it's the same bone. It has a different name for some reason, but okay. This Eiver doesn't have hana'ah from any achila except for the eating the Sudam of Malka. Okay? That's what it does. It gets hana'ah. The only meal which it enjoys, it gets hana'ah from, is Malaf Malka. Okay? So, it's like, I guess, one of the good things about Malaf Malka is it helps this bone. Right? Okay? So that's the fact.
This bone, that's for Tchias Mesim.
Yes, the Tchias Mesim bone, right? The Tchias Mesim bone. Known as the Luz bone, sometimes the Naschoi bone.
Does that word have a meaning?
Boring. Luz means like a nut, I think they say. Okay. It's like shaped like a nut. I looked online if there's some bone in the backbone, which is super strong. I looked at the hardest bone in the body. It was like the femur or the jawbone. You know, I didn't see anything about any specific bone in the back that seemed especially strong.
You know, like there's a bone in the back that doesn't...
That's strong? I don't know. I mean, I think strong. I mean, I looked up strong. Because it sounds like it's hammering it.
And it decays, though, right? I mean, or is the idea that it wouldn't...
It sounds like it doesn't decay. That's like, the point. It sounds like that's the point. That's why it lasts through Tchias Mesim. I mean, that's why God will make man sprout forth. From this bone.
Only inside the head. I'm thinking, historically, if people had a bone that didn't
decay, would we
know about it? Yeah.
Oh. It sounds like it's the property of the bone in general, and just that when God wants to do Tchias Mesim, he takes the tzaddikim's, he leaves everyone else's bone all along. But I don't know, you'd think maybe, for example, orthopedists would know if there's a bone in the back that all their instruments won't pierce holes in it, it doesn't break. And you drill through bones. I mean, I would think you would have heard such a thing, but I don't know. I did a little bit of research. Okay? Like 10 minutes of Googling, and I didn't really come up with anything. But, I didn't ask an orthopedist.
I was thinking in terms of, excavating where people have been buried, it would just
try to find their...
No, it would just be known. I mean, there's just so much work that gets done with different
bones. I mean, bones last a long time, though. Any bones. No? I mean, you have dinosaur bones.
I was just reading an article that I'm not going to take time, but it's something in ancient Greece, and it was about... I actually looked it up to see when it was. It was time when the pies were still going down to Mitzrayim. So it was 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a femur and a couple of ribs,
Right, and if they guess it, they have to get fossilized. But
I just feel like every single thing that they ever find always has the same bone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not clear if it's saying that any time you do this experiment, this will happen. I don't know. I don't know the context about what the nature of these conversations between Hadrian and Rishoba and Hanania were, but maybe he was trying to challenge the Jews. And maybe he's going to kill the Jews if they can't, whatever. And maybe there was some sort of miracle that this bone didn't crush. I don't know if it's saying, if anyone wants to try this trick, you can do it. Could be Chazal say, this is the bone, and there's a bone. But it's not really as strong as he's claiming, it's just that he was trying to. He was being challenged. Maybe he met something other and now he's just challenging him. He can't say, we don't necessarily mean every single bro, it's not going to fly. So he brought him on.
Where did they get the bone from in that story?
Where they got it from?
Took it from?
No, doesn't say.
Just happened to have that bone lying around.
Well, he was a bad guy. I assume he could find bones. I don't know. Wherever. If he got one. Mm-hmm. So he didn't, I don't know for sure if I asked him whose bone it was. But it doesn't say it was a tzaddik, though. That's a good point. It doesn't seem like it's only a tzaddik. It sounds like it's just the way.
It was literally a physical bone. It wasn't just some metaphorical concept.
It doesn't say in the Medrash whether it's literally or metaphorically. Mm-hmm. That's part of what you have to tell me. But I don't know. Medrashim usually don't say whether they're part of our challenge, is to try to understand that. But I mean, they say, well, someone wanted to say here it was some sort of an ace. But I don't know if he means it was an ace in this case, or it's generally an ace that God does this. So the one hint, I mean, I see here that there's a Pirush, if you're familiar with it, the Otzer Tfilas, there's a commentary on the Tfilas called Eitz Yosef, which is very good. And he happens to also be a commentary on the Medrash Rabbah. So he just ties this thing. I mean, this is the one hint I got here, is that he wants to say that at Tchias HaMeisim, because like, it was a question, from which bone will God bring forth people in Tchias HaMeisim? I don't know, who said there's a bone? Right? Who said there is such a thing? So he says, because you might think, he's saying, I'm trying to teach you, it's not going to be a new Bria, the Geish Me'ayim. God's not going to create man from nothing. Because Ein Kol Chalitav Sashamash, or basically Nisim don't happen like that. There's one time Yesh Me'ayim, and after that, everything is like in the Bria. He cites like the Rambam that all miracles are some programmed in. The thing is that it's like programmed in that there's going to be so that these bones already are going to exist in order so that it's not going to just be God has to poof, make people come out of nowhere. So the presumption is there must be some mechanism whereby God is going to bring about man. And maybe nowadays it would be like DNA or something like that, you know, which is going to still exist and whatever. But, you know, he's asking, where's he going to come from? How's he going to make man? It's just from nowhere. Just man died, totally dissolved, disintegrated, nothing left, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's man. How did that happen? So that's what he's assuming. It must be there's some part of man from which he'll regenerate. That doesn't say maybe there's some sort of DNA and it could replicate him, but, you know, so a near thing, it's a bone or whatever. But he's saying is that it's not just going to be from nothing. Give me a moment. I just have to find that in my other share. Yeah, give me 1 second, okay?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
No. I just scheduled this. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, good. So was someone saying something? Was I saying something? I don't even know.
You were just saying that people aren't going to be just poofing.
Oh, yeah, right. So that's what he wants to say. It's Yosef, that it's trying to show, that's what he's discussing. That Tchias HaMeisim isn't going to be from nothing, it was to be from something. So it's going to be from something. Well, there's going to be this bone which doesn't dissolve and doesn't decay, from which man is going to spread forth, you know?
There's some continuance of the actual person.
Sounds like it, right. Right, the physical body is somehow, some minor parts of it exist, and the miracle is going to be that he's going to take this little part of the body and use it to regenerate the rest of the body. But not that he's just going to take nothing and make it into something, or take dirt or something, I don't know, make it into something, like from nothing, from nowhere, just to make it, you know. But rather, there's going to be a bone, albeit small, and he's going to use that to build, to construct, whatever, to sprout forth. Amen?
Stem cells are found in blood marrow.
Oh, okay, good.
In the bone marrow.
Okay, good. And then you can use those to...
Use those stem cells.
Okay, great.
They're already starting to rebuild organs out of stem cells, so they might be able to someday...
Okay, great. So maybe that's something. Maybe it's good. Perfect. Stem cells.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's true. That's a good thought. Okay. But, you know, the question is, what's the point of this whole thing, you know? Yeah, like, who cares? You know, so it's like, I don't, you know, let's say there's a bomb. I don't know, maybe there is. Maybe there is, maybe it's miraculous, in this case there was, or whatever, like, but who cares? What's the significance of the whole thing? What's the lesson that was trying to teach us? What's the, you know, it was just telling us.
The Hava also is, like, not from nothing.
Sure.
My kids are really stuck on that, like, they've been asking me about that a lot.
Where Hava comes from, how she comes from, the
like,
or something?
So they're like, so then, Adam was only, like, half of what he was. Like, they, I honestly couldn't answer that, I didn't know,
but. He was created in Zahar and Akeva originally, he was both.
Really?
Yeah, Zahar and Akeva were also, but he was both, and that's why she was separated from him.
But they're focused more on, like, his heart and his lungs, like.
Well, they're different, they're different, there are a lot of rumors about this.
But even she, and my point is, like, even she was
somehow from Adam.
And that seems Adam to be, like, for a certain purpose, like, that she's a connecto, blah, 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 that, but still, she wasn't, like, created from, like, nothing.
Sure.
And even the Ramban doesn't want to say that, like, the world was, he says, like, is it him who says that there was, like, a substance, an initial substance that had, like, that
things that
created,
from.
But that everything else then was created from?
Maybe. Could be the Ramban says that.
I thought it was like the Ramban.
It might be. I haven't done those Rambans yet, but you can ask Aaron. But I think it sounds familiar. Plato holds something like that.
That there's like a Plato.
Plato or Plato?
There's like a P-L-A-Y-P-O-U-G-E.
Sounds like Tohu Vavohu as like the matter that everything was originally created from.
Plato held like that.
I know.
Are we tying this in with that other source of the other bone?
Maybe. I mean, that's a clue, if anything. You know, it's not clear to me. It's a little bit annoying that they don't have the same name. Because, like, I don't know, maybe it's a totally different source. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. But at the same time, it does seem to be very similar. The bone which lasts all the way until Tchiz Mesim, and all the other bones rot and it does not. So, I mean, you know. They seem to be, you know, I guess in Torah College they made the connection, but it seems to be a, you know, seemingly connected.
So that one, the idea that it's, like, nourished with Lava Mako, which is, like, a recognition of Shabbos, which is a recognition of Bar Olam, that there would be, like, some sort of, like, continuance. If a person is, like, in relation to those ideas, that there's some sort of, like, continuance, like, that, you know, that, like, they partake of something that doesn't stop.
Okay.
But that's not true.
Okay. Why Malav Malka, like, as opposed to, you know,
Kiddush,
Friday night, you know, meal, you know, childhood is.
Careful, always do Kiddush.
So what would you say it characterizes Malava Malka as opposed to the other meals of Shabbos, which also seemingly could fit in with the fact that it's saying is this bone doesn't have any hana from any other Suda except for the Suda of Malava Malka?
Above and beyond. I mean, it feels like it's not something that's halakhically mandated. Malav Malka is, I mean, the Mishnah Berurah saying that there's a halakha that you have.
It says you should, but it's not, you're right, it does say it's not a chova, but it's a good idea.
It's not one of the things that you have to do as part of, you know, Zafar and Shamar, Yom HaShabbos and Kadisho, but you're still doing it because you recognize and appreciate the importance of the Shabbos every week.
Okay, good.
So it's like, people who go above and beyond are nourishing something that will ultimately lead to.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay. Okay, here.
pizza count as pulled malka? Or does it have to be like to break out the steaks or something?
I don't know. See if you feel it in the small of your back. And
it sounds like it's a, it has like a spiritual quality. It has a, it's not like a heavy physical.
Spiritual quality. Okay, what do you mean?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Okay.
I guess metaphysical is a better word.
Okay, yeah, that's the YBT version of Miss Spiritual. You hear what I said, Naomi?
Old school or new school?
I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing. What did you say?
I said that metaphysical is just the YBT version of spiritual. Better connotation.
Like a better
I know. Yeah, for sure. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, I hear you. Spiritual, metaphysical. Yeah, why is Malav Malka a spiritual, metaphysical meal as opposed to every other meal?
It's really hard to eat a meal when Shabbos ends so early and you just finished your meal at like 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And you're just not hungry to eat anything and
okay, good.
To make an effort.
Okay. That's when you finish lunch, but when did you finish all the shows?
Right. I always forget.
Right, okay, good. So it's a su'uda, which basically is not really a su'uda of hana, physical hana, right? Who has the stomach for Shalosh Shalosh, for Malav Malka, and they say you should eat it right after Shabbos. So it's like, it's not at all a pleasure of su'uda, right? So it's a su'uda, which is entirely for the sake of Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, right? It's the only su'uda, the only thing you eat, which you're eating not because of pleasure, because it's your stuff. You just ate all the pleasure in the world. So the other su'udas on Shabbos, it's true they're for Shabbos, but they're also for pleasure. That's Onik Shabbos, just to enjoy yourself. But this isn't Onik Shabbos. This is on the contrary. You're done with the Onik Shabbos. You're stuffed. You're full. You're just eating to escort the Kohen of Shabbos. It's a Kavod Shabbos. It's a meal which is entirely in recognition of the Yom HaShabbos, an appreciation of the Yom HaShabbos. Right? Okay. So that this bone benefits from. Right? This bone doesn't benefit from physical pleasure because somehow this bone doesn't benefit from this world. This bone is a bone of the world to come. Right? It's not a bone for this world. It's a bone which is designed for the sake of the world to come. Now, the only achilo which is entirely for the sake of the world to come, for perfection, for recognition of Shabbos, recognition of the higher objective of man, is the Malav Malka. That this bone could enjoy. Okay. So, what's the point of this bone altogether? Like, this is just like some steps in the direction, right? It's not quite coming together just yet, but at the same time, it seems like this is insect. But, you know. Okay, I'm not like explaining so much, because I think this is kind of the way to work on problems like this, you know? And try to take some steps, see if you get an insight, see if it gets you anywhere. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, you know? But that's kind of the way to work things out. I mean, you never get a fully resolved answer, and it's not the way thinking works, you know? It always goes by steps. So you're going to ask a question, try to come to something. This does seem interesting, this thought. Not clear if it's going to help us yet, but, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry, Naomi.
I just have a few thoughts, like comments, I guess. So first, I was wondering about there's like a model that Uda Shishit will save a person if he has Uda Shishit, he saved from the Mashiach, from the war of the Mashiach, not from the Mashiach. And another thing, I was just thinking that like if a person eats when he's stuffed, it's supposed to be like a Uda Gasa, it's not supposed to be like a positive thing to eat. When you're stuffed.
Right. Achila Gasa. It's true. I know, you're not supposed to eat when you're stuffed. It's true. I know. But maybe you're not totally stuffed. Maybe there's a point between being stuffed and between not being hungry. And you eat a little bit. They say you can only have a gazaya, so that's fine. Just eat a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I mean, it's interesting that it's just like the meal, but like most people ask for Shabbat, like they want to do their weekday thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe like maybe it's not just the eating and you're forcing yourself to stay with Shabbat, maybe.
Right. You mean you're not ready to leave Shabbos yet? Mm-hmm. Shabbos is like special and important, and even though it's over,
yeah. You're
not rushing to get your things done, but you're pausing and you're still involving yourself in Kavod Shabbos. It's true. You don't want it to leave so quick. It's true.
Yeah. She said yeah.
She's our interviewer. Yeah, okay. So this bone, saying is God made in man. Were you going to say something else?
I had an idea.
Yeah?
But just like a way of thinking, was going like to the end of it and going to Tchiyas HaMesim. I'm like, what is Tchiyas HaMesim that there would be, like working backwards, is that there's some element of humanity that's not being fulfilled now.
Right.
And it has an existence. There's a reality to something that's not reaching its fullest form,
okay,
and that needs to continue so that it can.
Okay.
It doesn't like stop and start again. It's not, because it didn't end, because it's something real,
right,
that's going to reach its fulfillment later.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Maybe somehow, I mean, if we're saying it's not a literal bone, but there's something about a human existence that has a reality that doesn't end, that will then
mm-hmm.
later be
right.
the basis on which the full Tzvias
mm-hmm.
HaNesim
right.
comes up later.
Okay, go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me elaborate on that approach, okay? Namely, see, what was God created man, right? Now, what was the purpose of the creation of man? Was it this world, the state of the world today, if you will? The imperfect state of the world, Mahama and all kinds, right? So the answer is no. The purpose of the world, the ultimate culmination of the Bria, is the state of Yemos Mashiach, of what's sometimes called by some as Olam Haba, where the world at large will be aligned with Yedias Hashem, Adi Malach Al Haaretz, Deyas Hashem, and that will be realized, that world order will be brought about and realized through Mashiach, through Tchias HaMesim, through the Tzaddikim, through Avraham Masorah, setting up a society which is going to enable the permanent state of the world, set up the world order, built around ideas and built around perfection, and they'll be able to create such a state. So it's like the ultimate, if you want to look at the world and say, this is the world which God created, well, not really. It's our tefillah, it's Osa Shalom Ben Roma, V'yasa Shalom Aleinu, the one who made shalom and harmony in the heavens, should make harmony amongst us in the world, because this is not a harmonious world. This does not reflect the perfection of the Bria, a world of chaos and all kinds of fighting and, you know, but the true perfection of the Bria, the culmination of the Bria, will be realized in a period where there will be Masa Mashiach, in the period where the whole world will be directed towards one common goal of Avodas Hashem, and there will be true harmony and true shalom in that state. Right? So that's like the design of man, ultimately, the blueprint, the end goal, is to bring about that, the culmination. Okay, just like in a certain sense, the blueprint, the purpose of this world, of the earth, of the days, the Sheshem Ebereshis is the Yom HaShabbos, like we say, Tachlis in Marav, as we say, Tachlis Ma'aseh Shemayim Ba'aretz. It's like the culmination of the Ma'aseh Shemayim Ba'aretz. The Yom HaShabbos is the Yom HaShvi'i Shabbos, where the world reached its culmination. Right, God was involved in creating on the other days and manipulating different things. Then it fell into place. And Shabbos, the Yom HaShabbos, reflects the culmination of the physical Bria. But the culmination of man's Bria is the parallel to Shabbos in the human sphere is the Yemos Mashiach. Right? The human sphere is not perfected yet. The physical world fell into place after Shish Mibresh, the Shabbos. But I think even there's a Ramban or Chazal a parallel between the 6 days of creation and the 6,000s of years. And that's why they say Yemos Mashiach will be after 6,000 years. It'll be like the 7,000. It's like parallel of Shabbos. But I think the point is that the culmination, the ultimate goal is to not to have a world of Shalom, to have a world of Yemos Mashiach. And that's brought about via Tchias Mesa. So it could be what the Chazal are holding, and I don't know, if let's assume there's a bone like this for the time being, but I don't know if it's dependent upon the actual physical bone. But the concept is, it's like the design of man. Man was designed in a way, part of the design of man was forward-looking. Like just like the design of the creation of the Big Bang, with all the constants and all the energies to arrangement, the initial conditions were set up to bring about this universe billions of years later. The creation of man was forward-looking, it was teleological, it was for the purpose of ultimately bringing about Yemos Mashiach. And therefore God made man for thousands of years having this bone which has no purpose whatsoever in this world. It doesn't benefit at all in this world. But it's there, sitting there, waiting, enjoying the Malav Malka, the Yom HaShabbos, enjoying, waiting for eternity. And it will find its day in Yom HaMashiach, when there's Tchias HaMeisim. So it's like there is like a feature of the Bria, part of the Bria of Adam, was not just an Adam for the now, but it's an Adam for the future, for the ultimate purpose, because that is the ultimate culmination of the thing. So it's like they're pointing to a feature of the bone, the particular bone, but the concept is part of the blueprint of man is the element which will have which will realize its purpose only then, not now. Now it just kind of is in waiting, picking up little benefits from the Yom HaShabbos. And like I always say, Shabbos like Mayim Olam Haba. The Yom HaShabbos reflects the ultimate creator, the ultimate purpose of Olam Haba, of the creation. So like the Yom HaShabbos is, in some small sense, reflective of the ultimate time where the whole world, on Shabbos we direct our energies towards God. The man of this period of Olam Haba, the whole world will be in that type of a state. So yes, any questions?
Yeah, I'm sorry to ask this if this is off track. Does that mean, I just never know this, in terms of Adam HaRishon, like when he was created, it was already, there was going to be a Mashiach eventually? It didn't have to
I think
to
so.
Do, yeah?
Well, Mashiach might have been, there's no question, like there may have been different routes. Like Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu could have been Mashiach.
Right.
If the Jews didn't do the Mechid
Hagen. Right, he did the Chid happened before the end of Yom HaShishi, right?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, the way he was created, he had the option for chait or no chait. If he hadn't done the chait, would we be in a position where we'd be hit? That's right. I'm sorry about the question, but just to understand what you're saying, does that mean that we would be necessarily on a path that we would need Mashiach? Or if he had never done
Well, I don't know then. It could be his body would have been in a state of that of the Masa Mashiach already, and then his body was equipped for that also. But it could be there are different routes, but it's in the planning that the man is equipped. The design of man was equipped man and the body of man, and the purpose of man was designed in a way which will enable the realization of a period of an era where there will be a world order of built around the Yedias Hashem. And this the way man, like the man wasn't only designed to be able to function in this world. Man was designed in a way that's, it kind of reminds me of like, I don't know, this isn't exactly the same thing, but there's like these vestigial organs, or I'm pronouncing it right, like the appendix, It's almost like the bone is like that. It's like, why is it there? It's not really there for anything in this world. You're never going to find it, but it's there because there's a purpose other than this world. So it's showing more of a concept. I don't know that, again, I don't know if it's saying necessarily there's a bone, you know, or how exactly it works. Maybe it's DNA, maybe it's, I don't know, I don't think that's the point. The point is that the design of God's creation was teleological. He set a few factors into play, which was forward thinking and was purpose oriented. And the purpose is not just that, like in a certain sense, the purpose is Yom HaShabbos, which is this universe, with everything, you know, where everything came together in the description of Shesh Mevers to create the Yom HaShabbos. But the ultimate culmination of that is Yimas Mashiach. So that's what he's saying, is like God, that part of the design of man was with that in mind. You know? That I think is the point. How exactly it happened, I don't think that's the emphasis. Although, I mean, there is a bone, and that's, I think, maybe that was the idea, but maybe this Adrian was asking, oh, really, where is this? You know, what's going to be the Mason? Really? It doesn't look like it. Well, it seems like man decays, and that's it. It seems like man was created for this. And the be-all and end-all of life is this big existence, and once you die, it's all over, and there's no, where's the future to this world, and whatever, it's just, you know, and then he's saying, well, that we hold this mitzvah mason, and God, part of the blueprint is to be able to bring about, really, where's that? I don't see anything like that. You know, so then he's using this bone to show an idea. I don't know, maybe there's an ace, maybe, I don't know exactly how the story went, or why the story went that way, or whatever, but I'm saying to me, and that's a interesting idea, that's part of the design of the universe, is to bring that about. And just like, it's like if you, and I think that's part of the yisod of Tchesem, I think maybe I heard this on a tape somewhere, so part of the yisod of Yimas Mashiach is that if you, it's a yisod because if you want to know what is our ultimate world order, what's our vision of the way the world is supposed to be, this is not it. Our eschatological vision of Yimas Mashiach is what, you want to see the perfection of the Bria, you can look at science, but don't look at man. Look at man in Yimas Mashiach, where all of man will be realizing our objective of, you know, now we're in like a in-between state. It would be like looking at, you know, the universe in the first million, whatever, billion years of it and saying, that's the universe, there's nothing interesting about that. Oh, well, not yet. Let it unfold for a few billion years and then you'll see all kinds of cool stuff. So it's like almost like there's a process of unfolding. So just like there's a process of unfolding in the physical Bria, there's a process of unfolding in man, you know, in man's Bria. But it's interesting because man's Bria, there's Bechira. So that's why it has different roots. It's not necessarily a singularly determined root, which arguably maybe there is in the physical Bria.
Unidirectional.
What?
Not unidirectional.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. There's different, choose your own
adventure. No, I just meant like it gets better, it gets worse.
Yes, that's true also. Right. But in the blueprint is the root towards Yimas Mashiach. It's like part of the design is the root towards a better state of existence. And you know, I don't know exactly. So that's the point. It's like Tchias HaMesim is programmed into. Tchias HaMesim Yimas HaMashiach is programmed into the design of the universe and the design of man. You know?
Two thoughts. One is a parallel to that is kind of where a baby girl is born with all the eggs that she'll have in her lifetime.
Oh, really?
And so that's really, at that point that she's born, it's really just potential. It doesn't have any purpose. And then until she's old enough to actually bear a child, she's just holding eggs inside of her that are her potential.
Never heard that. Where do they all fit? I'm just kidding.
They all what?
Where do they all fit? I'm just kidding.
They're tiny.
Is that really true? Why is that? There's no more creation of...
They're born with all of their egg cells. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
And the other thought I had was the reason why Hadrian was trying so hard to destroy it.
Right.
Is that maybe he didn't want to face the concept of a world of Yedias Hashem. He wanted to deny Hashem.
Right.
So he wasn't like physically taking a bone and trying to crush it. It's
right.
A medrash
right,
that
right,
he
right.
was trying to deny
right.
that there
that's
would be a time when there would be, you know, everybody would...
Oh, Einstein. Maybe that's what he was doing when he was killing Klal Yisrael and he was doing all these things. He was trying to extinguish the possibility of that. And maybe that's his point, is no, you can't extinguish this. This is part of the Bria. This is built into the Bria. You might be able to superficially, whatever, but you can't extinguish this. There's no way to do that. You can kill all the Jews that you want, and it's terrible, but you're not going to prevent this. This is built into the Bria. Oh, so one more point is that's a good point. I like what you're saying, Alan. There's just one other thing I just didn't mention is, so maybe some, I don't know exactly, but it sounds like it's saying is that at the Dar HaMabel, and God saying, Emchas Adam, saying is their bones even their Luz bones are going to be wiped out. That, like, original... Oh, that gets to your thing. That original plan of man before the Mabul had the capacity to lead towards... This actually relates to the thing from last week about Peshagam Mubasa, that they had the potential to reach, like, a Moshe Rabbeinu, but they didn't. But they basically had the potential to lead towards Yom HaMashiach. But their din was that they're not getting anywhere. They failed.
That's a real destruction.
And therefore they're wiped out. Yeah. Totally wiped out. Even their bones. Even their loose bones are gone. They're not... It's not like they're going to come back. They failed. That version of Adam could have gone somewhere. They were Bocher Bara. It didn't. And now the Gzar Din is close that path, wash away even their loose bones. Those bones are gone. But
there's no continuing existence.
Exactly. There's no continuing existence. But when we die, our loose bones are still around. But that was the Gzar Din on, like, mankind. Emchas Adam, entirely. It's just even the Afar Adam Rishon and even their loose bones, and that was it. The din was not just on those people, but it was on that version of man. And that was wiped out for all of eternity. And Litzchis HaMesim is not going to be from their loose bones, it's going to be from our loose bones, the post-Dar HaMabul loose bones. You know, that's just saying that those are the ones which are going to last forever. So they're not really indestructible. Just saying is those part of this, it's trying to show the extent of the, you know, the destruction. Yeah.
That is real destruction.
Yes, like real destruction. Exactly. Yes.
As opposed to death.
Right. Our death is like we're the Shenei Afar. We're sleeping in the dust. We're just merely sleeping. They were destroyed. You know, when we die, we're not destroyed. We still have all those bones sitting there waiting to be sprouting forth. Essentially, unless it's like sprouts forth. Right? It's going to sprout forth. It means it's there, and we're the Shenei Afar. We're sleeping in the dust, you know, like vis-a-vis God, it's just a matter of in waiting. But there, that was emchas on them. Absolute annihilation, destruction, there's no future, there's no anything. But that was there, that plan didn't work. Because the man's bechira, but by nacham Hashem asa, it didn't work. Right? Could have worked, and that's what's in b'shagam u'vasa, that's what it could have brought about a Moshe Rabbeinu, they had the capacity to, but they didn't. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. That's kind of touching on your question, you know, the Adam Rishon. I mean, it's taking up a different era, but it's like there are in the Bria different routes and different paths, and, you know, some of them, others could have, well, some could have been realized, there could have been different routes. Like, let's say that path was realized, and then it would have been different, it would have been whatever. But either way, that's all part of the initial design. Like, a good designer, for instance, even in this world, designs a system which has the capability of dealing with all different scenarios, even scenarios which might emerge hundreds of years in the future. But if you know how to design something, which we're very limited in really design, we can design things for who knows what, right? For all possible contingencies. So saying God's design incorporated all these things into play.
Maybe the fact that the name Noah is becoming so popular as a name is a sign that Mashiach is coming. Because,
maybe.
You know, the world is recognizing that that's
coming. Could be. Could be.
It's like among the maybe top that. Three names in the U.S. right now.
Really?
Like all everybody after the flood would come back.
No, not necessarily everybody, but it means the people who come back will be from after the flood. But not that everybody from after the flood will come back. What's that?
There were tzaddikim before, though, no?
Yes, I don't know. It sounds like it's saying even the dust of Adam and even the... I don't know. That's what it sounds like it's saying. Maybe it doesn't mean everybody.
That even the dust
of Adam. Yeah, maybe. Maybe it doesn't mean every single person. Maybe it just means the... Generally, the people were... I mean, look, it was all in the... I don't know. It's a good question. But it seems like that was a certain model of man that was discontinued, so to speak. And God changed the plan, and now the future will be from... It could be, look, they're tzaddikim, but it doesn't mean they deserve a tzaddikim, is in order to bring back a society, and it could be they're not the ones who that society is going to be built from. So then they'll be destroyed, maybe they'll exist in Olam HaBa and Olam HaNeshamos, but they're not going to be brought into this world. This world is to reestablish a world order, which is not going to be from those types of people. That world failed. Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating to me. That's like part of the interesting thing of design. It's the concept of design, of like the constants and that whole thing. It's like, how that, if that's what physics has uncovered with this whole design, you know, fine tuning or whatever, is how there are so many features of the universe which are not really explainable in the present. They could have been like these numbers, the constants. They're like numbers in the universe which have no real explanation. Science has no explanation for them. They're numbers which are set at the Big Bang 15 billion years ago, whatever, but what's their purpose? What do they do? Why are they this way? The only thing which they do is that in billions of years later, they'll unfold into, you know, life and into, you know, all the features of our universe which we see. You know, atoms and, you know, stars and plants. Everything which we see is because of those numbers. But those numbers don't have any intrinsic meaning in the present. They more have meaning in what they'll develop into. That's what I'm saying. It's like here, too, it almost sounds like in a parallel way, it's like this bone or man has, there's features of the Bria, and God creates. He doesn't create only for the present. He creates in a way which will enable a rich future, and that's all part of his ultimate blueprints, you know?
The universe is expanding.
Yes, expanding in a way that will realize his objective, but you never see from that initial bang all that that's going to unfold to be all this. That was just a big bang of energy. But it's all programmed into the numbers and the arrangement of the particles and all that, that it will, you know, over a long, 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 long time, emerge and unfold into this. So, similarly, let's say he made Adam. He didn't just make Adam, but like when he made Adam, that's Adam then, but there's a long future which is in the cards, in the design. So that same thing which is true in the physical universe is saying it's true regarding man, the design of man. Yeah. Okay. Any comments? So, you know, I don't know if she went back and told her teacher about that.